Do the majority of your students reside in one country? Are they spread out all over the world across several different time zones? Does that pose any challenges for you?
Well, I would say that my students do not reside in one country, three countries. It's Russia, Ukraine, and Poland, three countries, plus minus our.
Yeah, that's really fun that have those different locations and to communicate with your students. Do you have any teaching philosophies that you follow in your classroom?
Well, I wouldn't say that it's any kind of teaching philosophy. The main thing I understood is that we are just, people, and we are all different. And some recipes, some solutions that can work for one person may not work for another person. So you all the time you need to check how your student responds to your methods, and you always need to adjust. And of course, politeness, respect, mutual understanding, these are the main principles.
Yeah, those are really great principles to follow with mutual respect, being kindness. That definitely helps with building a lot of engagement in your classrooms. Have you faced challenges while teaching, and what did you learn from any of them?
Well, actually, I would say that I didn't have any big challenges. A few times I had very emotional students. Once I remember the time when I had a kind of very nervous student, and when I tried to share a link, she was like, "I can't open the link. Oh my God, seconds are ticking, minutes are passing. I'm wasting my time. I'm not concerned about the time. If it's, really necessary, I will add this minute to our lesson. Don't be so worried. Just calm down." A woman was like too nervous. She started being more and more nervous, and then she started crying because she couldn't, do something with technology. I was trying like to calm her down and to explain, but I guess it was just a bad day. So I told her, "Let's switch off and let's add additional time to our next lesson." She said, "Okay," but then she didn't come back to me. I wouldn't be upset about that because I don't really want such nervous students. So we just have different characters. That's it.
Definitely, that's wonderful that you're able to provide reassurance to your students when they are in a bit of distress. And some students do have bad days, and that's okay. And you're able to provide the best solution for them. Make a better classroom when you show that type of kindness and care to your students. What's one thing you wish you had known when you began your teaching career?
I wish I had known that this our profession is a little bit, don't say more, undervalued, so that the majority of teachers get low salaries and they are very, very busy. When I was at the university, I heard this joke that before you get married, warn your husband that you are a teacher, maybe he will change his mind.
Wow.
Heard this joke when I was a university student, but I just didn't pay attention. But now I understand how true it is. Don't have much free time because it's like always some tests or preparation. Of course, I don't have a lot of preparation because I work for an online company. And yes, I have pre-made lesson plans. Of course, I'm adding something. But anyway, you need to spend at least some 10 minutes for each student every day because they all have some individual needs. And of course, you want to support them, you want to help them. And you share a lot of energy. And sometimes, you feel that you don't have enough energy for your family because you have already shared so much. This is the thing I wish I had known.
That definitely is great experience to tell about when you are a teacher and there is so much work involved in it, and it can be energy depleting where you're wanting to be there for your family, but it's been a bit you've been teaching all day and trying to help people with their issues, their communication. And that's funny about the joke and how it came to realization for you. You know, some jokes actually have truth in it.
Uh-huh, definitely. Yeah. But you have never heard such a joke.
Yeah. No, it's my first time.
Swapping energy. And of course, I get also some energy from sometimes you feel drained or you feel tired or you just feel different on different days. Yeah, sometimes you feel that you are far away from your family.
I could definitely relate, and it can be a bit energy exhausting or energy draining because you have to be there for a lot of other people with their concerns, and you want to be there for your family, and it's hard when you are balancing 10 to 20 personalities and then having to deal with more personalities outside of classroom. So it could be, you need some me time sometimes just to digest.
I also have a problem with my son because I spend a lot of time with other people and with other children, but I don't have time to actually teach my son some English, and he doesn't like it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that definitely hinders a lot. You being an English teacher and you're having to do so much and you have a family to balance and, you know, care for, and you're not able to provide that skill set to your kids, you know, not a feel-good feeling. I know that when you can, you definitely try to squeeze in those intimate moments and build relationship with your son when you can. I know you do all in your power to be there for him regardless. You have this profession to maintain. He knows that you're doing your best, doing a wonderful as a mom and as a teacher.
Trying. It's just the problem is that he maybe doesn't like the school program. He transfers his feelings on what I'm trying to say to him. So I just, when I see that there is no response from his side, I just, okay, we go to YouTube and switch on any English song, enjoy some engagement to make him like English, just at least like that.
I think I understand. He doesn't like the school curriculum. And then when you trying to teach him, he's like, oh, this feels like school.
Yeah. Definitely. I have noticed that when we sing some songs, he remembers everything very quickly. Because, you know, for example, if we take English month of the year, for example, for Russian children, it's easy because their names of the months are very similar, almost the same. But Ukrainian ones are very different. And for Ukrainian children, it's really an issue to learn this month. Listen to the song from YouTube, some months of the year. Like mother hen was singing, he remembered in 2 minutes without any singing, and he remembers everything. And I'm saying, oh my gosh, how good it is to have modern technologies.
Yes, it definitely helps digest it, and they're just learning and repeating every song in the book, every nursery rhyme. I think that technology is very helpful, especially for the young kids, and, you know, helping them develop that communication, that speech, and allowing them to know songs that we didn't even grow up with. They know songs from international, not just songs within their country, but songs all over the world. And that's wonderful because they can, when they get older, they'll be able to communicate with people and understand where their perspective is just from a song. Because a song is like telling us somewhat of a story in some way, but in a very musical.
Definitely, yeah. So it's like easy to remember. It's the rhyme, some melody, engaging, and some cartoon is there on YouTube. So
what was your motivation in teaching your students?
Well, first of all, I get students that eager to learn. Yeah, I see this in their eyes. They want to get some knowledge. They are curious. They want to find out how it actually works. And they hear me speaking and they want to have, you know, the same skill. And yes, I'm really into helping them to master it, to practice it. I think that you really have this reward when you see the success of your student, that they could manage, they could master, or they could make a presentation. And they told me, oh, you really helped me. I practiced a few times presentations with my students. So literally, they had a presentation like today, and they told me, please let me just practice with you. I will just present my product to you, and you will ask me some questions. And I'm saying, okay, no problem. I'm all ears, yeah. And after that, they give me feedback. Oh, I did really well. I could answer all the questions. I could use the phrases that you gave to me. Thank you so much. And I'm...
That is so rewarding to get eager students, and also students where they want you to exercise and practice their things outside of class, right? That's like, oh, yeah, you want me to be involved in your English lifestyle and your English activities. So that's really fun that you're able to help practice their presentation skills, for example. Do you employ any warm-ups or introductions in your classes? If you do, would you like to share some with our audience?
As for warm-up, I usually ask my students about how are things, are they fine, maybe they've got some news. If we talk about some classic warm-ups, sometimes we play a game like two truths, one lie, or asking each other some questions with words from previous lesson. I can make list, or I can make some kind of template, and we can ask just each other questions. I know that we have a lot of work to do. We don't really have time to waste, so just some simple warm-ups like this.
You have a whole lot of important stuff to cover, and so just having a little bit of introduction just to warm up the class and get the class engaging definitely helps. Have you ever taught privately, or has it been only through offline or online platforms?
I started teaching as an ordinary teacher at a state school, had a few classes. It was kind of difficult, especially with teenagers in seventh class, because they have this difficult life period. Younger children, they have some small fear because you're an adult. Older children in ninth class, they are aware that they need to achieve something. And these children of 7th, 8th class, they are really crazy, I would say. The most problematic stuff. Ordinary and boring school curriculum. And I didn't have, let's say, desire to improve it because I was in a difficult class. And first of all, my first task was to establish this rapport and to make my students listen to me first, because it's difficult and they always had some problems with head teacher, like all the time. So I was not the only teacher that had problems with them. But later on, I had a few students from that class, them privately. Then this word of mouth, and I got more and more students privately, and I actually left school. I started for some remote job. I understood that ordinary school life is just not for me. When I was teaching in school, there were a few processes in the court because some students had a fight or some other. So I understood that it's too complicated, and I just didn't want to be in all this stuff. She was alone there teaching, and she had only two classrooms, and she had young children and exam preparation. There were so many students that she just couldn't manage herself. So she asked me to help her, and we worked together for a year. But I found this online job, and it was kind of really strange, found me. I was trying different stuff online. I was trying copywriting. I worked with a few platforms, but it was boring, I would say. Just, you know, using only keywords and doing the task. That was the thing. Yes, I wrote a few texts in English, in Russian, and you always have tight deadlines. Problem is that you cannot take a lot of tasks because each of them should be done in not more than 2 days.
Okay. So
plenty of tasks planned all days, and on some days there were plenty of tasks, but some days there weren't any tasks. It wasn't stable. Made my CV on a few websites. One day I got an email with invitation, and I said, we'll try to do the interview. And there was one very weird question. One question that I was asked, they asked me to complete the sentence, online teaching prevents you from. Sorry, guys, I don't know the answer to this question. And they said, okay, we will continue with other questions. But anyway, I passed the interview, and I got this job, and I'm still there now teaching students online. So at first, it wasn't, let's say, easy because you need to find out a lot of things, like how to use the platform, how to use all the features. There was even some technical tests. If you know all the features, if you know all the buttons on the platform, you meetings with methodology, split of your teaching, because, yeah, but now I'm working there for 2 years. So almost 5,000 less.
Amazing. Like, a lot. You helped so many students. You are a tremendous teacher. That is a lot under your belt. You are a wealth of information. What cultural norms did you learn while teaching students online or offline?
First thing is that other people's feelings. Of course, you need to have loyalty. For example, students from Russia, we opened the lesson and there was something about the United States and they say, I don't like United States. Can we change the lesson? Saying like, we are not going to learn about United States, just there is some information. There should be, you know, respect. And of course, I understand that I need to respect other cultures. As far as I'm working with so many people, so Russia is, you know, very big, lots of nationalities, have not only Russians, minor population, other small countries outside of Russia. Some students are in Poland and all of them have different beliefs. Only if my students are really willing to talk about this, and this is the main thing, like being loyal, being, I don't work with the children now, because if we talk about children, there's lots of stuff about relationships with parents, or of course being patient with children, giving them a lot of stuff actually, and a lot of the stuff connected to psychology.
Those are really insightful ways to respect cultures when you're interacting with various people all over the world. Do you have a preference in teaching adults or children in your classroom? If so, why?
It's very different. And when you want to adult, funny songs, games that you play with children in your class, thinking that maybe it was a little bit ridiculous. The thing is that now I have a lot of very interesting people. I have a specialist, I have chief accountants, I have sales managers, and they tell me, you know, so many interesting things about their professions, about what they do, something that can help me. For example, I have one student who works with online marketing as well, and sometimes she gives me some, you know, insights on this stuff, how it works. Of course, I'm not saying that I'm going to build my own online business, but I've been careful with 18 notes.
Your students are learning and you are learning from them. So that's how it should be. You're like taking notes like, yeah, okay, that's really interesting. I will definitely utilize that. I'm building my teacher entrepreneur business. That would definitely help. Is it necessary to have a side hustle or an additional source of income while teaching English language offline or online?
Well, in my country, I would say it's really important, because if you work at a state school, it's impossible to survive having this salary. It's a reality of my country, really necessary. I'm working in an online, for now, it's kind of international. You know, if you have a full schedule, you don't really need a side hustle. But, you know, as for me, I decided that I just cannot leave my students that were with me before that. So I was teaching a few students and they were, you know, going older and older. And this year, two of them finished school. So I cannot leave them at this, you know, important step because they need to pass their schooling exam. They need to enter the university. I feel like I'm obliged to finish this education with them.
What's your students grow from that development in their life and also in their English life, and continuously loyal with them and sticking with them till they go into their finish their goals in their English communication. That is really devoted teacher that you are. Do you ever have a favorite lesson that you like to teach in your classes?
I wouldn't say that I have something in particular topics more than others. For example, if we take something, you know, not so complicated, I like teaching, for example, past simple. I like teaching degrees of comparison, and I like introducing present perfect, like, for the first time and comparing it with the past simple. I wouldn't say that it's something that is my favorite. I like just, you know, English, and I like speaking myself, and I like when I hear that my students can do that.
That's what it's all about, really. When you're having fun and you're loving it, then the lesson, that means that you're doing a good job in your students are really gaining a lot of value from that lesson. Did being an English language teacher inspire you to learn various language yourself?
I am bilingual from birth because, as you may know, Ukraine was a part of USSR. In the past, I grew up in bilingual environment, and from my birth, I heard Russian on TV. On every channel, and there were lots of Russian-speaking people in my country. Of course, I live in the region that is mostly Ukrainian-speaking, so I became absolutely bilingual, I would say, maybe when I became a teenager, because it wasn't really popular, I would say. But if we take the internet, Russian is prevalent. It's mainly, it's necessary just to know Russian to use the internet. I would even say that I'm trilingual. I have the story that I tell all my students how I learned Polish language. The problem with our TV, programs, to be simple, thing is that when USSR broke down, like stopped existing, all channels that were broadcasting from Moscow to Ukraine, they stopped. And we had just, everything was empty, no channels on TV. We had only a few hours of some Ukrainian news. I was maybe 6 years old. And of course, as a child, I wanted to watch cartoons. When we were younger, we had this opportunity, we could watch Russian cartoons, and lots of them. But because of this political problem and political situation, all the channels stopped broadcasting, and it was like empty. You switch on TV and nothing. We live in Western Ukraine, and we are very close to Ukrainian-Polish border. So just half an hour from my town, and I can be in Poland. And my dad was an electrician, and he could get some parts to design TV antenna, and we could catch Polish channels. And when I was 6 years old, I have, wow, on my TV, there is Tom and Jerry, there are Smurfs, there are, but they were in Polish. I saw all these characters, but I couldn't understand anything. As a child, I really wanted to watch cartoons, so I didn't have any choice. And little by little, I started understanding some words, some expressions, because see what's going on there, and you start understanding some words. So little by little, I was watching everything and grabbing some Polish. And of course, I saw some subtitles, some names on TV screen, so I could learn letters just intuitively as a child. Like, you know, as we learn our mother tongue, our mom's tongue, and we learn this. All the popular films like Home Alone or Curly Sue, I watched for the first time in Polish, then I watched them in Russian, and only then I watched them in my mother tongue. That was my long way, and I can write. I have never had a single lesson in Polish, but I can write and I can speak, of course, maybe with mistakes, but if we count the fact that I have never had a single lesson, I think it's good.
That is amazing how your journey into learning third language, Polish, that.
At school, I really liked English. You know, it was like love from the first sight. Maybe it started when I was 5. I heard a few songs, but I heard this music and I thought, wow, this music is so cool. I want to understand what it's about. So this is where my love for English started.
Wow, that is so fascinating, just how you learn about these different languages from your childhood and then just going to school and learning more and falling in love with English, and now just being able to share your passion and love for English and maybe a little bit of Polish. So that's pretty amazing. For 2022, do you have any goals that you want to share with the audience on the podcast?
Well, of course, I have the goal to set up my own business and to start getting my own clients. So this is my primary goal. And this goal is connected to another goal. I want to earn more money and have more free time. I wouldn't say it's bad. I have higher salaries. Average people don't even, they would be envious, and I don't want this. I feel that I need more and I deserve more because I hear from my students, oh, I've been in the United States, I've been to Korea, or I've been to Thailand, and I'm thinking, wow, but I haven't been there. I want to go there too. Go have a business to earn more money and to have more free time. I don't know if it's going to work with my free time because, you know, starting a business involves a lot of time. But I hope that eventually, some months, maybe in a year, I will reach this alignment and this balance.
Yes, of course you will. That was a really great aspiring goal to accomplish. And I know that you will definitely achieve those goals and desires that you want with operating your business full time and also having more money, of course, to have the free time that you're looking for. So I am super happy. Those goals are really terrific. I believe you can definitely achieve them. Also, where can our audience, or where can people find you if they want to connect with you for lessons or anything?
Kidding is the main source. I'm planning also to set up an account on Instagram because my daughter works on it, and she says that audience is kind of easy to engage with, and she always tells me, Mom, why don't you try Instagram?
Yeah, I think that's a good place to do it, especially if you're doing the English language teaching. You'll definitely have to play with content and you'll have a lot of fun with that outlet. Instagram is a little bit more fun with graphics.
That was an end to another show. Please visit the website at www.teachingonlineenglish.com for the show notes. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to get notifications of the next show. Talk with you soon.